Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Bev, who is here to speak with us of her experience of receiving the Practice Everywhere tweets. Welcome, Bev.
Thank you, Jan. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks. And you know, I heard you speak so enthusiastically and eloquently about it recently on the morning show, and it reminded me that it is such a powerful practice tool. And, you know, it's been around for so many years now that I think it's one of those things, at least for me, that I can often forget. Maybe not everybody knows about it. We rarely talk about it. We don't feature it very much on Good News. And yet it is quite a powerful little tool. So we thought it would be so fun to have you on to talk about, maybe we could start with what it is in case there are folks who don't know what it is, and then talk a little bit about your experience of practicing with it.
Okay. Well, if I understand correctly, it's little quips, little quotes, very short encouragements that are sent out either, I get mine through Twitter as a tweet, but I do believe, Kent, isn't it available on Facebook as well?
You know, I don't think so, Beth, but hopefully someone more in the know than you and I might let us know.
I think it is a Twitter thing.
That's the way you get it said to your
phone. You know, I had to sign up for Twitter, and I've set my settings where I don't get the only tweets I get are these. So, you know, you can set it up so you're not just overloaded with tweets from everybody in the world. And they come in throughout the day. There's always one first thing in the morning. When I wake up in the morning, there's always one there. And they come in randomly. You don't know when they're going to come in throughout the day. They just pop up. You just look, you read it, and that's it. And they're very short and to the point, which is something that I appreciate because I'm a talker. I kind of like to belabor and think things out and try to talk about it for every way, which way. And these are just, they're just very short. And Sherry's often, Ashwini both often say that when life comes in, the direction's usually very short and sweet. And that's what I love about these Practice Everywhere tweets. They're very short, easy to read, and to the point.
Yeah, just a very simple redirect of attention, right? Or a reminder to bring the attention to the present.
Yes, and what I particularly like about them is that there are a lot of them that bring you back to the body. Well, you know, it might say, you know, stop, look up at the blue sky, or take a breath and smile.
Yeah.
How does your face feel? And for me, in my experience, that coming to my body first is the place to start, especially when I'm really identified.
Yeah.
I start with the body, and it kind of short circuits it. It kind of cuts it off when you and I especially see this very helpful when the parts of me appear that are the younger parts, the ones that don't want to hear, you know, they don't want to hear all this lecture. And I can stop. And it's almost like a teenager or a 10-year-old, and they can understand, look at your feet, take a breath, look at your feet. And it kind of, it short circuits it, and it helps me become less identified. And I really, that's probably my favorite part of the ones that deal with bringing me, because it gives me that experience. It's not something someone's telling me to do. When I stop and look at my feet, I am doing it. And that 10-year-old inside me can understand that. When I look at the sky, it's my experience. It's not somebody telling me what I need to do. So that has just, that's been the most dramatic thing for me is that.
Yeah, so let me just underline that because that's so great, Bev. So I'm reading one here, might be an example from last week. Next time you eat a meal, notice how the utensils feel in your hand.
Yes.
Right? So just that simple bringing the attention back to here, to what's now, to the feeling of this, holding this fork in my hand. And as you say, it's so simple, and I project the magic is what the practitioner brings to it. because what you're describing is a willingness to be led in that way, to have the tweet come in. So as you say, they're at random, so it's not a particular time of day, so you don't know when it's going to come in. So just there you are, you're going around doing whatever you're doing, and then in comes this text, and you look at it, and it gives you a little prompt. Another one was, look into the expanse of the sky, thou art that. And yes. What you're describing is you do it. You stop, you look at the expanse of the sky, and you have your own direct experience. And that, by definition, that's all we're practicing. We're practicing just coming back here. And that's what these are so brilliant at doing. They're interrupting whatever conditioned process is almost certainly going on at the time and bringing us back here.
And I also find that, say I am really identified and I'm very agitated about something, I can pull that out because it's so readily accessible. It's right there on the phone. You just hit the little tweet thing. And if I'm identified right then, it's just a lot easier. If I can't record right then, maybe I'm sitting somewhere, I'm with family, or I'm doing something that I couldn't record or get out and listen to a recording, I can just very easily pull that up and read through a few tweets, and it gets me refocused.
Right. That's right, and no one even has any idea what you're doing.
Yeah. Or when you're waiting, you know, when I'm just waiting and I'm impatient, I think, well, get this out and just read some tweets for a while, you know. So you can use it for so many different instances.
Yeah. You know, there's one that I see here, Bev, that feels so relevant to what you were just saying. There I am. Maybe I'm agitated. And especially now, maybe I'm in close quarters with my family members. I just read this one that said, what do you appreciate about now? And so I just pictured, you know, taking out your phone, read it, and that one comes up. Of course, the voice is going to say nothing. This is terrible. But the practitioner is going to go, well, that's a great question. What do I appreciate about now?
Yeah.
And there are going to be dozens, hundreds of things to appreciate about now.
Yes. And I can't count the times when I've been one thing that comes to mind is, you know, I try to commit to take a walk every day. And one day I'd put it off and I was kind of, you know, whining around about it. And a tweet came in and it literally said, get your shoes, put your shoes on and take a walk. And I mean, I can't count the times when I've been, you know, having that conversation in the head and then a tweet dealing with exactly whatever is on my mind at that moment comes in and it's just like, Okay.
Got it. All right.
That just happens time and time again. It's really fun to watch that happen.
Yeah. That is life ganging up on conditioning, right?
Yes. I feel like it's like that little cartoon where you have like the devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, and the little devil's hollering and carrying on, but that little angel's there with those little tweets. Oh, that's just, it just reminds me of that. It's just a little small voice that says, try this. And like I said, I can't express enough how much it makes that become your experience. And, you know, as we're told, that's the only way you really get it, if it becomes your experience.
That's right. And again, I just want to underline what you, in this case, Bev, the practitioner, are bringing to it, because that feels like really the brilliance of it, in the sense that you are truly training yourself to listen to life in that process, right? To be willing to be here, to be willing to turn the attention away from whatever was there, so much so that not only is that happening when the tweets just come in, but in what you described, there I am, I'm in a hard situation, I can reach for my phone, I can look for one of those. So now the training is even at a different level. Not just am I willing to be interrupted, but it's actually occurring to me to interrupt, to see, oh, I'm in the middle of something. I need some assistance here to interrupt. And you're actually doing that. So it's just such a brilliant training for being present.
And many times they just drop in. You know, one I've read recently will just drop in. And I'll think, oh, look at your feet. You know, look at the sky. You know, how does the smile feel? You know, things like that. So it's been very, you know, really, if this is all I had as a touchstone, it would provide me with all I need to practice, you know, just these little tweets all day long. So just really, really, it's really been a lot of fun. I enjoy them very much.
And I just wanted to let folks know, for anyone who is not signed up for it or wants to get re-signed up, if you go onto the Living Compassion website and go under the Participate tabs and then into 2020 Programs, you'll see all the programs listed on the left-hand side there, the various email classes, group coaching, et cetera. And it's listed under tweets-practice-everywhere. And if you go to that link, it will give you all the information about how to sign up. And it's free. There's no charge for that program. So that's another nice thing in these potentially difficult financial times.
It's a lovely tool. It's a very concrete tool to have at our disposal.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Bev, for being here and talking about your experience of it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
All right. Take good care. Gasho.
Okay.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Bev. Okay, and there's Jen.
And there's Sherry.
And there's Sherry. Wonderful.
Hi. Hiding out there.
Another miracle.
Thank you. Technology.
Technology miracle. I think it goes way beyond technology. And technology is one piece of it. One critical piece.
Speaking of which, technology and all it can do for us, that was very fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Delightful.
A couple of things about that. Those things have been going on for years. Jen might be able to tell us when we started that, but that was back when that technology was not common. and so there was that, which I really enjoyed. I remember, this memory is correct. We were at Santa Sabina sitting around the table and talking about, well, how does that work and what we and how can we and what about? So all these years later, here we are. And then the next thing that I really enjoyed was I was doing the exercises Bev was talking about.
Yes.
And, you know, she's right. Something just as simple as, just looking up at the sky or looking down at your feet or my favorite one. But my favorite one was, what does a smile feel like?
Yes.
Yeah. And there's the other piece of it that I just actually got reminded of, that there are actually 20 people who submit those tweets every month.
Wow.
And there's a whole training that goes with it. So because people will look for those kind of, because as Bev pointed out, you know, they're really succinct. They're short and pithy and designed to just not a lot of thinking about it or talking about it. Just bring you right here. Just redirect the attention. And it's a skill, you know, to listen for those, look for those, recognize them, and then what is the form of that? How would you say that? And the trickiest part of all, to keep it in keeping with practice. Because there are lots of short, pithy sentences that really don't fit well with practice. So it's just one of those things that, you know, when Jen said, you know, there's no charge for it, and there isn't a charge for it. I don't think there's ever been a charge for it, along with these shows and the Daily Peace quotes and a lot of things that we do just because it's fun to be able to support people, and there's a whole deal that goes with it. You know, Daily Peace Quotes is a whole operation of people because people are sending them in, and then they need to be vetted, and they need to be edited, and they need to be arranged, and somebody sets them up so that they go out on the right day, and, you know, all of these things that we sometimes don't realize how many practitioners it requires to pull these apparently very kind of simple little offerings.
Yes, I was going right there with you. You know, how many programs that are offered that are amazing, that have been going on for years, that have a huge team of people offering them, and there's so many of them that we don't even have time to talk for all of them, and yet we all benefit from them. So it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It's quite lovely.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
Well, let me tell you. Bring the kind, compassionate support of the privileged environment into your daily life through a four-week group coaching class beginning in June. Participants in the Living the Privileged Environment at Home class will engage in specific practices that support being present. The virtual class will be held on Mondays, June 8th through 29th.
All right.
Yes. And if you are already meditating in the morning or wish to start, enjoy the extra support of meditating with Sangha with virtual meditation groups. The 30-minute...
Now, there's another one, huh?
I was just about to say that. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, describe it.
The 30-minute conference call meditation sessions happen 7 days a week. For a full schedule of the groups, visit the virtual meditation groups webpage at livingcompassion.org.
Yeah, so all the people who facilitate those, who offer those, and then behind the scenes, all the technology that makes that possible, it's wonderful. And, you know, some of us get to be more the, you know, the face of the practice. You know, some of us,
yes,
people are more familiar with seeing or hearing from or that sort of thing. But there's just a vast number of people who most people will never know that they're doing the tremendous job that they're doing to make practice available. And
mm-hmm.
I would say, as somebody who is not a big part of that part of the operation, it feels pretty seamless, right? I know
yes.
There's a tremendous amount of work that goes on to make it be so seamless, but the end product is just it's impressive. At least it's impressive to me.
Yes, it is impressive to me. And what just dropped in, actually for the second time, is when I come on retreat at the monastery, and I show
mm-hmm.
up, and everything's ready,
mm-hmm.
and the food is hot, and the meditation hall
yeah.
is clean, and the place where I'm
yep.
staying is beautiful, and everything is just
yeah.
right. And and there's a lot of work that
yeah.
has gone
yes.
into that.
Yes, tremendous, tremendous
yeah.
amount of work, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks who are doing all of that look very calm and cool and collected, right? It's like they didn't even break a sweat making all of that happen. Yeah. Yeah, that's
yes.
good.
Yes. And a virtual workshop is planned for next Sunday, May 3rd, with details and registration coming soon.
Okay. So this is in the line of the ones that we've been having on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have one this last Saturday, but five or six Saturdays before that, there was
yes.
a workshop every Saturday morning, and now this one's going to be on a Sunday. So we'll see how people do with a Sunday morning instead of a Saturday morning.
Great.
Or wherever you are. I mean, for us, it's morning, but...
Yes. Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. Okay, Sherry, I think that sets us up to get started here.
All right, I'm ready. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, you're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara in Australia.
Hi, Barbara.
Well, hello, Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, it's exciting to get on.
Things settled down a little in your part of the world?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they have a lot. Yeah, I feel very fortunate. We're sort of approaching easing up a little bit some of the lockdown things at the end of the week. So we're heading in a good direction.
Good, good.
Yeah.
And all the smoke has cleared.
The smoke has cleared, yeah, but I mean, I haven't been out to see the bush that's been burnt, but, the effects of it are still pretty devastating for, especially the wildlife, you know.
Yeah.
And the trees.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our bush is our bush luckily likes fire, so it regenerates, and that's happening.
Good.
So, you know, the animals that survived will start to have a bit of food available. There's been a lot of amazing people, you know, doing amazing things, putting out food for, you know, it's incredible, you know, trying to hand feed wild animals in an incredible expanse of bush.
It's interesting, isn't it, that I think we're seeing that in a lot of places in these times. So, you know, we think of the pandemic as sort of the beginning of it, but for us, for you, and for a lot of people around the world, it's a continuation of extraordinary events that are really challenging. And to see so much goodness come from it, as you say, the kindness and the generosity of people, just how willing people are to do for the love of others, whether it's people or creatures or trees or whatever.
Tell
me about
so
Barbara.
I sort of wanted to call in to talk about the year-long retreat, because I can't, the morning show's in the middle of the night for me.
Yes.
So if that's okay for me to just talk about, I've been having some real, so I've had enormous amounts of resistance the last year and this year to actually doing the assignments. And I listen to the radio show, but I've never come up against so much resistance. So I'm hanging in there, and this month has been the best month that I've had, probably. But one thing that I noticed was that there's nearly always a subpersonality or a voice that comes up in every month, which says, "I'm not doing this right. I don't really understand this." I don't know what I'm doing. Everybody else seems to get it. I don't really get it. And it was only, I've just really appreciated the repetition, because it took, months has it been? It took really until this month when that voice, that appeared again, and I was like, okay.
Maybe you're never going to get it, voice.
It took that long to really kind of not believe it at all. You know, I'd sort of been half seeing that it's just a conversation, but part of me still believing it every time, you know?
Yeah.
And this one was, it was like, no. it's like...
Yeah. You know, it reminds me, sometimes people will talk about that with the voice that says, "I can't," and eventually getting it, that voice just says, "I can't." Whether it doesn't matter what you're doing, that voice is just going to come in and say, "I can't," or "You can't. You can't do that. You can't do that." Then realizing, that is a perspective, all right, but I don't want to share it. Thanks awfully.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then there's the other voice that's been around, because I've been, you know, I haven't done it perfectly and blah, 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 that voice. And and I've, you know, one thing that I've noticed is that some of the behaviour changes from last year, there's one in particular that's just had a really profound, it's been a really profound shift in something that's been believed for a really long time. And you know, it's kind of around activism in the world, and because of my health, I can't sort of get out there doing stuff in the way that I would have liked to. And but there's been a conversation about how, you know, writing letters or making phone calls doesn't really do anything, and I saw through that in that month. And I've started writing letters, and the thing that I've seen, Sherry, is that I don't know how much difference it makes to what happens out in the world, but it makes an enormous amount of difference to how I feel.
Yes. Yes. And
it just felt incredible.
If that voice starts in again, one of the things that I have come across many, many times is that the most powerful thing that we can do is write letters. That's something that people actually attend to, because there's an understanding of what it takes to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really big because, and as soon as I started writing my first letter, it was like, I have a lot to say. And I'm quite good at this, you know. I can write letters.
Yeah.
So,
I got a talent here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a passion, right?
Yes, so it's and like an outlet for the passion.
Yeah, and it's not like you have all this feeling, but there's nothing, you know, you're not good at writing letters. Well, that would be terrible. You know, you can't get out and march up and down, and you don't have any talent for writing letters. You're just kind of sunk with all this feeling and nowhere to put it. But those two things go perfectly together. You have a lot of feeling about this. You have a lot to say about it, and you can say it. And you can say it well. You can say it in a way that somebody is going to read it and perceive that you are a thoughtful, intelligent person who has looked at this issue and has something to say about it.
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted, there's some sort of real kind of breakthroughs that I've had that have felt really. Mm-hmm. So any conversation that comes up around, you know, that that critical kind of conversation about the resistance that I've had, and I haven't done all the assignments on all the months and whatever, is like, yeah, but look what's happened. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't a mistake in it. And that's, you know, that so much suffering happens for people because those ego voices have us believe, and I suppose it's, you know, being little kids and growing up and being educated and all of those kinds of things. There's this idea that you should, if you don't already know it, well, then by golly, you should learn it immediately. And if we don't meet that standard, then there's something really wrong. But it takes us as long as it takes us for something to really sink in, to go past that intellectual understanding to at a deeper level, a deeper level, a deeper level, a deeper level, until we are changed by it. That's a really deep level, and it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been really seeing that kind of karma around. It's like I have to be good at something before I've even learned how to do it.
Precisely. You should be an expert. And if you're not, you're not well.
So it just means you can't start anything.
That's right. Yeah. And it's so sad, isn't it? And it's wonderful that at whatever age we're learning it, we're learning that never was true. And that it's fine to learn, and it's fine not to be good at things, and it's fun to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's wonderful.
So thank you so much,
Barbara.
Yeah, lovely to connect with you too. We've been hearing about the United States and sending lots of
Please send us intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, everyone over here is really feeling for you guys over there.
Oh, yeah, we are in a pathetic world of hurt. But, you know, that again, I think we're, I mean, of course, there's tremendous sadness everywhere in the world for the number of people who are being lost, and the grief that people are going through, losing people, it's much what we were starting out talking about with the fires. You know, there we also see human goodness and kindness and compassion and a willingness that I think we probably, most of us had sort of lost sight of, that I think we're seeing something about who we are as a people that we really need to see, take a close, hard look at. So, so thank you for your thoughts. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And Sherry, I especially appreciated that the word that came to me was persistence, that showing up of doing the work. And for me, the
trusting.
Sort of the trusting and the joy of doing the work and getting these insights. And I know for myself, you know, after a long time, I'll have an insight and, you know, it's amazing. And then sort of very soon after is, you know, well, that's anybody could have seen that. But the self-hate comes in after. So
that's right, because self-hate didn't see it.
Right.
right. And if it did see it, it didn't say anything, which makes it a very evil, nasty sort of a thing. And, you know, Michael, with that and what we were just talking about with Barbara, when we have an insight, even when it's a really deep and powerful insight, I think it's helpful to remind ourselves that, and there's more to come.
Mm.
You know, this is great. This is wonderful. I'm so grateful for this. But we haven't hit the deepest part of this yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
What now?
What now? Mm-hmm.
Instead of, because otherwise, if we don't bring that kind of conscious awareness to it, we can fall into what you just said, you know, what the heck took you so long? And kind of get lulled into, well, I've arrived. This is all there is to see on the subject, which is really a dangerous, unfortunate place to be. But if we realize, no, there's steps and steps and steps and steps and steps and steps and steps, and it's going to last us all of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it's a lovely process.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see who else we have here. Sherry. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hello, Emily.
Hi. I had something I wanted to talk about is meditation. So I guess I was looking for some encouragement to do it because it was it's something I just haven't done regularly. I come back from the monastery and do it for a week or two, and then
you're so dedicated, and this time I'm going to stick with this because I see the benefits, and here I go. And 2 weeks later, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Right. It's like I can get excited about it, but it's something that's I feel like, there are things, I mean, recording and listening, I see the benefit of it immediately, and then other things that are kind of get me grounded, like I think, this helps me more than meditating, like going for a walk or doing yoga will help.
Well, let me ask you this, Emily.
Yeah.
What does helps me mean?
It will help me get out of my head or help me get out of negative thinking. And and sitting on a cushion, there's not the counting of the breath is just not compelling enough for me.
So presence is not compelling enough.
Well, it is.
I know. Wasn't that a nasty, ugly way to go about that? But I couldn't help myself because that really is what's going on. If I have a buffer between me and presence, then I can be okay. It's okay because there's something for me in that. And it's the me that is trying to stay alive. Right? And so if I'm walking, then I'm more present than if I were watching television. But I'm not so present that there's no me. And that's what ego is trying desperately to avoid, is the disappearance of me. Because me is ego. So here's, did you stay with me through that? Did Emily hang up on us? Did I go away?
I can hear you, Sherry. Let me see if Emily's here. Emily, are you there? We have lost Emily.
Oh, dear. Well, she'll be back. She's a tenacious gal.
Yes.
She doesn't want to miss this encouragement to meditate.
I'm sure she does not.
No.
So how about I look for her in the queue later?
Right.
Does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Hey, it is Brad in Maryland. How you doing?
Good.
Well, good.
Hi, Brad.
Great.
What's going on with Brad?
Well, I'm so delighted I managed to get to speak to you not at the annual retreat, but on open air, because I have a very interesting question, and I'm sure it's probably been discussed before, but let me phrase it in my terminology. I would like to discuss what I call trading karma. For example, if I go down my five biggest areas of karma, if I stop doing number one, then it will move on to number two.
Exactly.
And
so.
Then, and you know, people were like, well, what do you mean by trading karma? I'm like, well, say if someone stops smoking and they gain 50 pounds, all they've done is, you know, they've gone from...
They may have traded karma.
Well, you know, you look at someone that has what's considered an addictive behavior, and they may go from being addicted to drugs and then being addicted to exercise, you know. In that way, one may seem healthier than another, but to me, that's still the same process of behavior in a way, from what I can tell. So I wanted to ask you, because then what conditioning says is, it says to me, and for lack of a better term, I've got your ass either way in terms of all this. I'm going to have you with either one type of content or the other. So I just wanted to ask, what is the encouragement when looking at that, when it seems so much like whack-a-mole?
Yes. Well, it is, Brad, on a content level. But what you've really seen in this is the process, right? So that system that says, I've got you, I'm going to, how did it delicately put it?
I have your ass, yes. One way or the other.
Yeah. One way or the other. And that's really true. So if you're going from food to exercise to drugs to alcohol to sex to whatever it is, then that's true on the content level. And in fact, that's what people do. And then my favorite thing for people just to catch on to is every 2 years, people will tend to change houses, change jobs, change cars, change people, change whatever it is.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a constant cycle of moving to the next piece of content that's going to be new, so that all that's happening is ego gets to run the exact same program with a new piece of content. So I talk about that as horizontal growth, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm in a new relationship, say every 10 years, because, you know, I have to change jobs and change houses, change cars and all that in between. So if I change relationships every 10 years, then the way I started out with that one 10 years ago is just not even a memory, right? And so the same thing starts all over again, but it's all new and fresh and interesting and exciting. And by the time I've progressed to the point where I'm out of that relationship and ready to start a new one, you're right there with me, right?
We're going around the wheel of karma then, is what you're saying, on a larger scale. Okay, wow.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And what you have noticed about it is that the way out of that is to turn our attention to what's doing that. And it's pretty stupidly gutsy for ego to come right out and say it, to challenge you that way. Because what it's actually doing is saying, Brad, if you want to put an end to this, come after me. Don't waste your time on all of that content. Because I, as ego, am the ultimate addiction. And I'm the addiction that is keeping those other addictions in place. And those other addictions are what's keeping you from seeing me, the master addiction.
Yes.
Yeah?
Master of puppets.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so that's the way out of karma. But the hardest part, and I project again that you're onto this, the hardest part is actually, we were just touching in on that with Emily, is to break the habit of looking to conditioned mind, the ego master, to be guided in how you need to feel toward and about whatever behavior you're currently engaged in.
Yes, the payoff of the beating.
Precisely. So,
wow. So
again, you know, Emily says, I come out of the monastery and I'm going to meditate. I get it. I meditated 3 times a day while I was there, and I can see that it's really, yeah. And so I'm not going to, whatever it is, right? I'm not going to be, I'm so dedicated and devoted and committed. And then in 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever it is, I'm just back to the same thing, right? I've not noticed what happened, how I got from place to place, because the master of addiction has the ability to put us to sleep, right? And then I just wind up, I get, you know, the tap on the shoulder that says, do you realize, do you see where you are? Do you see that you failed completely? Again?
And I almost wonder, in you describing that process of that initial enthusiasm, is just ego setting up the duality in a way.
Exactly. That
because
is exactly what it is.
With me, it's always the biggest lure for me, and I recognize it now as, well, you know, you haven't done this well this month with the annual retreat. Once you start over again in April, you'll be perfect. And I'm like, wait a second, I've heard that before. We're already in
That's
April.
That's exactly
you know?
Right. That's so. Exactly it. And so what we begin to focus on, I think it was yesterday on the show, Ashwini had the funniest way of saying it, to discover which post-it you are on the right in the process map.
Right.
And that's it. And that's what makes that process map business so helpful. Because instead of focusing on what ego is telling me I should be focused on, because that's the sleight of hand, right? Oh, look over there.
Yeah.
I'm looking, I'm watching, because I know the next post is going to come up, and I want to know what that is. And I want to go through those addictions so often and fast if I can, right? I want to speed up the cycles so that I can get every single post-it on that whole thing. And now I am uncontrollable, right? Because I know ahead of time what's coming next for ego. And you see, even though life is completely unpredictable, ego isn't. It's a program.
Yeah. And it's all written out for you. You know,
yes.
it's yep. already been done. So
That's right.
And
you just said one of them. It was perfect. Oh, well, okay, you have this, you know, this hasn't gone that well. But as soon as April starts, then
yeah.
you, there it is.
Oh,
boom,
yeah.
On a Post-it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen in May.
Yeah.
In June and July.
2 years later. Wait a second. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for the profound insight. And I will definitely have to listen back to this call to make sure I got all of it. Well, not that
good.
There's an
and
eye to get it, but, you know, so.
But you're going to let me know, right? You're going to let me know how it goes.
Most definitely. There's been lots of cardinals around here asking about you lately, so.
Oh, really? Give them my love, would you?
Will do. Will do.
All right. Okay, thank you, Brad.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. And Sherry, I am completely familiar with that process on many levels.
I've been there once or twice myself. Yeah.
Yes, and it's great to hear you talk about it so explicitly and so clearly.
Well, and just that comforting place of, it's where we all live.
Yes.
Right? It's nothing to feel bad about. You know, it's just the human condition. And we have the great good fortune to be among the folks who are waking up and ending the suffering over it.
Yes, and it seems to me like that is one of the biggest gifts of practice for me, is just to realize, you know, we're all going through this. We are all having this experience. There
absolutely.
Cannot be anything wrong with me unless you want to say that something's wrong with everyone. We either all have something wrong or we're all fine. So
yeah, we're all fine. Yeah.
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 And you know, I know we got to do something else, but that's exactly, I was just looking at this the other day. That's what the Buddha taught. You know, there's nothing wrong with any of this. Nothing wrong with any of this. But if you don't wake up, you'll suffer. That is enormous, right? It's not that you're a bad person. It's not that you're a sinner. It's not that there's something wrong with you. None of that. None of that. It's just that if you don't know what's going on and you let the master addiction, the addiction master, rule your life, you'll suffer. That's all. So if you don't want to suffer, then we need to just get on about the business of waking up.
Yes. 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 Exactly.
Profound.
Profound.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sherry, we are going to break to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we will talk with Emily when we come back.
Oh, very good. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Thank you.
Zen Awareness Coaching supports us to look at the content of our lives through the lens of process. Through the 6 weekly sessions, we use content such as relationships, career, money, health, even spiritual practice itself, and get support for looking at it through the eyes of not what, but how. We use the tools of recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to see how we suffer so we can drop that and support the human to live in unconditional love and acceptance. People say that the structure and one-to-one support that coaching offers makes a huge difference in their lives. If you've ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and would like to work with a Zen Awareness Coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Let Zen Awareness Coaching provide the support and structure for living in the how of presence.
Welcome back to Open Air. And let's find Emily here in the queue, Sherry. Okay, there's Emily.
Hi, sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but
no
here
problem.
I am.
Here you are, yeah. So I think what I was haranguing you about was what we want to do, and this is true in practice, as everywhere else in life, is to find the place where we suffer the least without giving up me. So that's the bargain people are making most of the time. Now, the me, of course, is suffering. That's the case. but because it's ego. But as long as the ego is able to be in control of the content of life, it doesn't complain too much. Okay, so you can sort of be present on a walk. You can sort of be present doing yoga, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ego can be all right with that. But if you're going to just sit down and sit still, and there's going to be nothing reflecting ego, no, there's nothing for me in that.
Okay, so might be something that's important to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me give you the good news, Emily, okay?
Okay.
a more positive spin on it, if you will, okay? And that is that what is being escaped in that pursuit of placating the me is mm-hmm. Emily. Because what has happened is that it what's been identified is that she is not, she is not really that interesting. She's not actually that valuable or important or that sort of thing. And so sitting down for a half hour with just her? Can you get a feel for it?
Yeah, when you put it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really tragic, isn't it? Because of course what we all want is to be seen and appreciated, and we want somebody who really wants to be with us, who loves us, who loves being mm-hmm. with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what can happen in meditation. That can be the kind of the purest form of being with that human being.
But can that happen if we're off in our heads? Or how can that happen?
Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Because, say for instance, you know, you have a partner that you love, right? Well, mm-hmm. you can be together, right? And you love this person, right? You love this person. You'd never want this person to feel uncared for or unappreciated or anything like that. But when you're together, mm-hmm. sometimes your mind wanders.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you don't love her.
Yeah. So it's still
and so
important
when you realize,
to sit there.
That's exactly right. You don't want to say, you know, I don't think we should spend time together anymore, because when we're together, my mind wanders, and so you just wouldn't do that, right? Because you would know those two things don't have anything to do with one another.
Yeah.
It's just a habit that the mind wanders. You know, we lose attention. And so what we're practicing, of course, is to pay attention. and so when it's Emily, and you really do know what's going on, you know, your partner might not know what's going on. You look like you're paying attention, right? But you can drift off quite a lot and look like you're paying attention. But when it's you and you, mm-hmm. you know whether you're there or not, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're not, it's that feeling of, darn, it's my time to be with you. Just with you. No distractions, nobody else, nothing else. It's just us.
Yeah.
So you just try harder.
Do you ever say, or is it, I mean, just like having an earbud in with a little reminder in there, or?
Well, anything like that, it's okay, but don't cling to it for too long. Because you really don't need to. The thing that will save you is your wish for Emily to feel, to experience, to know unconditional love and acceptance. That has to be your motivation. And it is your motivation. It's just reminding yourself that is your motivation. And, you know, we're not saying, and you need to be doing this 23 hours out of the day, right? This is just a period of time where you are just quiet, alone, just with her. Give her all of your attention.
Yeah, maybe a little reminder recording ahead of time or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for why this is important. And so in case somebody thinks we've just gone off into the world of psychology or New Age or something, the deeply spiritual piece of that is that what you're sitting still with is authentic nature.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That seems worth it.
So oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's the biggest thing of all.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that the conversation, part of the conversation is that, you can go and find that somewhere else more easily.
Yeah, no. And of course the conversation is there to tell you that because it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other authentic nature available to you.
I mean, to go find the authentic nature somewhere doing something
but,
else. Like,
but it doesn't work that way. Because anything you do to go look for it somewhere else involves leaving it.
Is what?
Involves leaving it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the very process of wanting to find it somewhere else rather than in this here now.
Oh, right,
is
right.
The giveaway.
That conversation that's saying that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah, be patient. And you don't have to love it. Sometimes we do, for love, things that we don't just automatically love.
Okay. Do you recommend starting with a short time, like a
10 minutes?
Okay.
10 minutes, and when you find you just love it, it's just so comfortable and happy, and you're so grateful to be there. Sit for 11.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks.
All right.
That's
you
great.
Are so welcome. Okay. You take care.
Right. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. Makes me want to go meditate, Sherry.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
And we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller.
Go
ahead. Please introduce yourself. Thank you.
This is Carol from Port Townsend, Washington.
Hey, Carol.
Hello, Carol.
Hi.
What's going on in Port Townsend with Carol?
Well, what's happening is I've been doing the year-long retreat and listening to the radio programs and getting in the queue and everything. And, and there's been a whole lot of anger coming up. Just anger. Which is kind of unusual for me. And
is this everywhere or just with the year-long retreat?
Well, it's mostly with a year-long retreat. And, And there's a huge thing about not, it's so funny, about not getting on the air and not getting picked. And, yeah, like Eagle making a case about there's some reason about that or something. And and so the personality that's kind of up right now is the spoiled child, the petulant child. And, you know, I want things to be my way. And, you know, and getting on the air is one way they would be my way. And so there's this, so kind of my beliefs have kind of come crashing down. And I think that, or I'm seeing through them, and I think they cause me a lot of pain. And so there's an anger about that.
And so, Carol, when you say beliefs come crashing out, what does that mean?
Well, I'm seeing through them, like effort will get me what I want, you know. And so in this example of being on the air, I'm a good student, you know. I get in the queue every single time, and I do the assignments, and I meditate every day, you know. And you just let that woman off
the hook. Where's my reward?
Where is my reward? Yeah. And I'm going to, if I didn't get on, this is ego, but if I didn't get on tonight or tomorrow morning, I was ditching you guys, you know. I mean,
Well, you're right about that. That is definitely ego. And I would say, of course, that is exactly the whole point of what it's setting up, right? Because it would love nothing better than for you to ditch us. It would have you all to itself.
Yes, and I don't know that that's what actually would have happened. You know, that's just what I was hearing in my head. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, so
well,
I've been...
It would happen if you would fall for it. Because
that
is
right.
Absolutely what ego wants.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so then I've been putting out all of this practice effort. And, and actually, I wrote up this note... pinned it up on my wall, effortless dedication. Like, I am dedicated to practice and have been for a long time, but there's been so much effort and so much trying and so much, why aren't I getting on the air, you know, because I'm doing all the right things. So that's just all kind of
falling
apart.
Interesting, isn't it? Because it sounds as if, you know, when I said, where's my reward? That's what you're not meant to see is what this whole thing is for you. I mean, you practice
for you. Right. Yeah.
Not for a reward. I mean, you practicing for you is the reward.
Yes, I understand that, but when I'm caught up in this anger, I don't remember that.
Yes. Yeah. And so were you indicating a bit ago that you think maybe the control subject for this month is part of what's setting this off?
Right, yeah. And to get back on the topic of getting on the air, so I'm not in control of that. And when we had those three Saturdays, there's a method of getting on the air where you just said your name. And so if I was very careful and unmuted myself and said my name very soon, then I got on and I was in control of that, in control of my participation on the air. And I really like that. And on open air or on the morning show, I'm not in control.
And what is it about being on the air?
Well, I did want to talk to you about this anger thing because it's so kind of unusual for me. And it's about things being fair. Like if I'm in a group or something, we're starting a group, I want to make these agreements that's going to make it fair. And one thing about being fair is that everyone gets to talk for approximately the same amount of time. And so since I'm not getting on the air when other people have gotten on two or three times, it's not fair. So, yeah, so there's a big deal about being heard and having things be fair. And what's happening, not getting on the air, not fair. And since it's not fair, there's something wrong with the process, or maybe there's something wrong with the practice or something. So that comes
up. Not something wrong with the belief.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I'm seeing that there's something wrong with these beliefs, you know, particularly the one about effort will get me what I want, because there's all this efforting, and it's not rewarding getting me what I want, because what I really want is presence, you know, and ability to return to presence and compassion
and,
for myself, no matter what.
That's right. And so the effort gets turned into, if I am the right student and I do all of the right stuff, then I will get the reward, which is being on the air, rather than what you realize is, wait a minute, I'm practicing because I want to be present, because I don't want to suffer, because I, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those two got conflated in a by ego, or ego would like to conflate those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also some belief that practice needs to be hard, or it is hard. Yeah.
And yet, that's not your experience when you're doing it, right? You're listening to the radio show, you're doing the exercises, you're seeing what you see, you meditate. It's not exactly arduous, right?
Well, it's hard. It's hard, I mean, in quotes, to meditate every day, you know, and I've set up this schedule
Is it hard to meditate, or is it hard to put up with what the voices are saying?
Yeah, that's it. It's hard to put up with what the voices are saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if the voices were saying, Carol, you are the most wonderful person. Oh my gosh, you meditate every day. You listen to the radio show, you do all the exercises. You are just growing and changing by leaps and bounds. You are truly extraordinary. It wouldn't be hard to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So recently I said something on the air, I think it must have been on the show, and somebody responded with a question about what I meant, and they thought that they assumed that I meant something that was more complex than what I meant, because what I said was, have you ever heard my little prayer on fair?
Yes, I remember. Okay. I remember you talked about fair. Yes. Right.
Yes. And do you remember what I said about it?
Yes, exactly. You said that if things were fair, that then we would be a single mother with five children and no way to feed them.
That's right. If things were fair, right? But we don't actually want that kind of fair.
Right. We want fair where fair is good for me.
That's exactly right. Yes, and we want it for our 0.0000001% of the population, right, in the circumstance that I'm in when it's something. So if it was taking out the garbage for the entire apartment building, I would not be angling to get my fair share.
I want my fair share of the good stuff, for crying out loud.
That's it. That's it. And isn't that fun to see that?
Mm-hmm.
That it really is a con, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So can I ask you one more thing? I know I'm going on, but
we're out of time, but we'll go quickly. Yeah.
Okay, so how can I change the focus so practice is easy instead of feeling heavy?
Well, let me ask you this. what we consider easy, I was just reading this. What we consider easy are things that we know how to do, that we've done them, and so we know how to do them, okay? Those things we consider easy, okay? if you like to do it, then that's really icing on the cake. Then those are the easy mm-hmm. things in life. If it's something mm-hmm. you haven't done and you don't know how to do it and like that, then that's hard,
mm-hmm.
right? So do you agree that that's kind of the way things lay out?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so by that standard, practice is not hard.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to that again because I don't get what you did, that it's not hard.
Well, it's actually easy. You know how to do it. You've done it.
Oh,
right?
I see.
You don't have to learn anything new. You don't have to develop new skills. You know, any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, again, okay. to me, and I don't know if I'm too far off the track here, but the efforting that you're struggling with is because, and the anger is because mm-hmm. of what the voices in your head are doing.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Even as we established with fear, that's all the voices in your head, right? They're setting it up. They're framing it. And then getting you to play by their rules. And then you get upset because you believe that their rules are correct and then you get angry.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jerry, this is very good. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. I'm glad you got on.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you take good care of yourself, okay?
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Bye, Sherry.
Bye, Michael.
All right. Good night.
Bye, Carol. Thanks for joining us, Carol. What another great conversation, Sherry. It's a great privilege to be here and be a part of this.
It is, isn't it? I just love it. I think we should keep doing it, Michael, for just as long as we possibly can.
How about next week?
Okay. It's a date.
Sounds great. Thank you, Sherry.
Have a great evening.
All right. You too.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.